The Ark of Millions of Years, the Nephilim Evidence. This chapter is a continuation of The Giants in Volume 1. Much has been written in other books as well as The Ark of Millions of Years about the Nephilim and their giant offspring, but little has been offered as to what they look like other than descriptions. These beings walked the earth with mortal men in ancient times, as attested in early Sumerian, Assyrian, Egyptian, Hebrew, Greek, and Roman writings. Beside these writings, much in oral traditions has also survived to present day that acknowledge these beings were seen face to face by their ancestors, that they knew and served them as their gods. Not only did they write about these beings, but in some instances they drew or carved pictures of them on temple walls, tombs, pillared columns, and mountain sides. We have also included some drawn pictures that depict a belief in a particular god. Since there were no cameras around in those days to record their existence, the early civilizations resorted to the next best thing, stone or metal engravings. We believe that anthropologists and archaeologists have misidentified some of what we are about to present, or were at a loss as to what the pictures or drawings represent. Let us begin with the Gate of the Sun in Tiahuanaco, Bolivia. On the Sun Gate are many tiers of carved winged figures, some human-headed, and some with heads of condors, tigers, and serpents. We believe them to be carved pictures of the Nephilim, who were called Elder Gods. According to the legend, the Elder Gods built Tiahuanaco in remote times past. Those with animal and bird heads probably were a symbolic representation of something associated with their name or ability. Below is a drawn copy of two of these images found on the Sun Gate. These are the condor-headed Nephilim. We believe the handheld staffs represent the life force, creative power. The staff held by the condor-headed Nephilim is divided, which shows the twin nature of the Creator, twins or opposite forces, yin and yang. We believe whoever made the carved images defined them as feathered serpents or creators. The Elder Gods were viewed as creators. When they mated with mortal women in that region, the results were giant offspring. There are a few surviving monolith statues which we believe to be snapshot pictures of their giant children. These monoliths are 23 feet high, as pictured below. Archaeologists simply call them the idols. Note the square head, eyes, and mouth. The right hand holds an object which appears to be a book or a scroll, the other a knife-like object. These images appear to have Sumerian influence. Notice the Sumerian hat style. That could be because the grandsons of Noah, the 12 Shining Ones, and the Viracocha, which is the premortal Christ, were in Tiahuanaco re-establishing civilization to the survivors of the great cataclysm of 9500 BC. Nearby is another 23-foot statue called El Fraile, pictured below. Note the same hat style. In Nazca, Peru, the famous Owl Man, or the Astronaut, is a drawing of a giant 98-foot figure of a man pointing to heaven with one arm raised and the other arm pointing to the ground. We believe that this could possibly be a picture of one of the giant offspring, maybe waving to an elder god in the region in ancient times, as pictured below. In Sumeria, the first evidence of female goddesses appears. There were female watchers who came to the temporal earth. Some mated with mortal men, and others mated with male watchers, the Nephilim. In order to differentiate between male and female Nephilim, we wish to coin a new word for Webster. From this writing forward, the female Nephilim will be called the Nefertali. Pictured below is the Sumerian Nefertali, Inanna. Every large city in Sumer consecrated at least 2 temples to her worship. Note her size in comparison to the lion where she rests her foot. Note his giant size in comparison with mortal earth men. His Akkadian name was Shamash. He was also called the god of justice or law. Nothing evil could escape his all-seeing eye. All large centers such as Babylon, Ur, Nippur, and Nineveh had a temple dedicated to him. Next is an Assyrian hawk-headed Nephilim god. Note the similarity to the condor-headed Nephilim god on the Tiwanaku Sun Gate. This god was later known under the names of Thoth and Hermes. He has a pine cone in his hand, sprinkling purifying dust or symbolically transferring authority to kingship. Museums call these images geni, or protective spirits. Practically all the Nephilim are shown with a bucket or a purse in their right hand. What is the purpose of this? We do not know. Maybe the sanctifying dust. Pine cones also represent regeneration or rebirth. Practically all civilizations associate pine cones with their gods. Even the Pope in Rome carries a pine cone symbol on his staff. Next is the Nephilim Assyrian elder god Ea, the fish god, known under the Akkadian name as Enki, who later would be known to the Greeks as Oannes. Enki was the main god of the Sumerian city of Eridu. Ea was responsible for teaching everything that is human to Homo sapiens. He was the source of all wisdom. Every evening he retired to the sea. If you'll notice, in his hand he holds the same bucket or purse, which appears to be the signature identification of the Nephilim, as practically all pictured Nephilim are shown carrying the pocketbook, purse, or bucket. Although not pictured with wings, Ra does have a hawk head, similar to the condor-headed winged Nephilim found pictured on the Gate of the Sun. Could they be one and the same? Most probably, yes. In Dorset, England, the Cerny Abbas giant is carved on a hillside in solid lines from the chalk bedrock. He measures 180 feet high and carries a huge knobbled club, which measures 120 feet in length. The figure dates to the 17th century, but its style and proximity to an Iron Age earthwork suggests a much earlier origin. Folklore tradition is that the figure is of a Danish giant who had led an invasion of England from the coast. He had fallen asleep on the side of the hill, and the local villagers had taken advantage of his slumber and cut off his head. Then they drew around his prone body in the manner of a gigantic police chalk line to show his size and where he met his doom. To view an actual photo of the site, just type in Cerny Abbas Giant on your computer. The picture below is drawn copy of the actual size. While visiting Mexico City in 2005, November, your authors went to the ruins of Teotihuacan. Our driver, an Aztec descendant, took us to part of the ruins seldom seen by tourists, where we made this remarkable find pictured below. The above picture literally changes everything previously thought about the Aztec gods. It shows that the Nephilim were present in Mesoamerica. Apparently, the same thing that happened in Babylonia was happening in Mesoamerica as well. These fallen angels were being worshipped as gods. The indigenous people were building temples to them in every city and providing them with mortal women of their choice. It happened all over Mesoamerica with no consideration to tribes, whether Aztec, Mayan, Olmec, Zapotec, etc. They all were worshiping the fallen host of heaven, and giants were being produced, as documented in Volume 1. The following stone picture is rather unusual, in that it shows a Nephilim god, with his pocketbook, purse, or bucket, encircled by a dragon, life force. His headdress is also unusual. An object was found in the La Venta region of Mexico, now in the Mexico City Museum of Anthropology. Our driver, being a direct descendant of Aztecs, he testified that the ancient Aztecs were a very tall race. After mixing with local indigenous peoples and centuries of poor diet, the overall height has dropped to about 5 feet 6 inches. In the city of Mexico City, a stone box containing the skeletons of a husband and wife in one of the Aztec ruins of Mexico City, they were found under an altar in a nearby pyramid. He was over 7 feet tall and was said to be able to knock a horse to the ground with one blow of his fist. The evidence presented in this chapter is only 1/100th part of what is available to witness worldwide. We were not able to survey some countries, such as China, Africa, Tibet, and the Middle East. With what we have written here, one would think the proof irrefutable and incontrovertible. Yet these claims may not fit the established interpretation of anthropology in the modern world. Search the items out for yourself, and you will see that we are right. Truth is truth.